these are like the golden rules that everyone in Bitcoin should be following. I don't hear anyone in self-custody panicked at all.
The big caveat, of course, is that there will be no capital gains taxes if you pay your taxes in Bitcoin. If you want to spend your Bitcoin, there's still a capital gains tax. So, clown world.
If you're mining at home, it's not just a great way to learn about Bitcoin, but you can build your own block templates using Datum and Ocean. I mean, there's so much that comes with it, but you can be part of decentralizing the network.
Hopefully at some point, like for God's sake, I hope more people understand this and stop becoming, you know, their own worst enemy and victims of this nonsense.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. I have Greer and Tony with me. Gents, Bitcoin is dumping. We've got a lot of people. There's blood in the streets. People are fearful. Right now we are sitting at 84,000. We reached, I think, as low as, what was it, like 80 or high 70s, something like that. So a lot of people are concerned, and I think we need to put people's minds at ease. And one of the things that Simon Dixon talked about here in a recent interview, he said, those with Bitcoin in self-custody that are running nodes, they are the resistance. You need to become part of the resistance. And then Daniel, who posted this, sort of gave his TLDR, don't borrow against your Bitcoin, stay humble, stack sats, own more Bitcoin this month than you did last month, self-custody your own keys, run your own node, mine your own node, block template, be the network. I think this is the important message that people need to understand, because 10 years ago, the OGs would have dreamed of Bitcoin dipping into the low 80,000s. Tony, I'm going to let you take this one first. Give everyone some peace of mind as they look at the price action.
Yeah, of course, man. These are like the golden rules that everyone in Bitcoin should be following. I don't hear anyone in self-custody panicked at all. The ones that are scrambling for the hills are the ones that are over-leveraged, the ones that have, you know, willingly introduced counterparty risk to their lives, you know, borrowing against your Bitcoin, investing in anything and everything that is not Bitcoin in self-custody. Yeah, these guys are scared shitless. And of course, you know, justifiably so. The attacks on Bitcoin are going to happen. They're going to continue to happen. They're expected. They've been going on for 16 years. Why would it change now? In fact, that now that Bitcoin is actually winning, this is why you're seeing, you know, an escalation in the creative ways that these quote unquote attacks are taking place. I don't think it's a single factor that is contributing to the sell-off, but the underlying theme is that those who are selling were in Bitcoin for the wrong reasons to begin with. They don't understand a damn thing about the asset that they're holding. They are treating it like another tech stock. And of course, you know, when things get slightly, you know, shaky, they run and scram for the hills. This is not the way to approach, you know, something that's going to change your life forever. This is not the way you approach the world's most scarcest asset that for the first time in humanity you can hold in 100% self-custody. If that's what you're doing, man, you're in the wrong place. Just, you know, keep saving your worthless toilet paper in your bank and stay out of this game, and, you know, move aside and leave the room for someone that does get it. Because all you're doing is, you know, setting yourself up to get, you know, annihilated, which is what a lot of folks, unfortunately, have experienced, you know, in the last few days. This is not one factor. There's many factors contributing to this. I mean, you had the Japan stimulus package, the $135 billion that were recently introduced that blew up in their face. And, you know, that gives you that signals that, you know, the people don't trust the government anymore. Even though, you know, who doesn't like free money? They gave them the middle finger, dumped their Japanese bonds. The yields went through the roof. And any idiot who had been borrowing yens to invest in things like Bitcoin and stocks, well, now they're scrambling, selling everything. And, you know, of course, Bitcoin takes the hit because they tried to merge something that doesn't belong in TradFi smack in the middle of it. And so the more people continue to do this, well, we're going to continue seeing these ups and downs. But again, the golden rule, if you're holding your Bitcoin in self-custody, being part of the resistance that supports the reason why Bitcoin was created is to replace that corrupt garbage, hold it in self-custody, use it as money, you're sleeping well at night. You have no counterparty risk at all. You just need to desensitize yourself from this garbage that's going on in the world. And the way you do this is by really cementing your understanding that Bitcoin is finite, it's incorruptible, it's unstoppable, it's peer-to-peer electronic cash, and there's no living soul that has a position to manipulate or corrupt it anymore. Once you do this, your only goal, one and only objective, the dumbest, simplest thing, have more Bitcoin today than you had yesterday. Rinse and repeat. That's it.
I think that is very well said and an important message that everyone needs to hear right now. Greer, you have anything you'd add to that?
Everyone regrets selling Bitcoin. It's very hard to buy back. And I think that this dump that we're seeing is healthy. It's cleaning out leverage. I can't point my finger to exactly what's causing it, but it hasn't shaken my conviction at all. I have no intention of selling Bitcoin anytime in the near future. So I'm not worried when it dips. It's actually a fantastic point to start buying and dollar cost averaging. I mean, I've been buying Bitcoin above 100,000 all year, you know, and those were painful sats to stack. But, you know, now I can get more sats per dollar. So that's what I'm thinking about. I also think that, you know, the harder we fall, I think the harder the bounce is going to be to the upside. I think, you know, with the money printing that's about to kick off, not just in Japan, but also in the US, Bitcoin has all of the tailwinds. There's not the, you know, the institutional adoption hasn't slowed. The ETFs haven't slowed. The demand pressure is there. And so I think that if you can get to one Bitcoin, if you can get a Bitcoin, you'll be in the top 0.01% of the world. And if you can get close to that or get half a Bitcoin or a quarter of a Bitcoin or a tenth, like that should be your goal. It should be, you know, for someone like me who's bought above 100 all year, now's a chance where I can smooth out my dollar cost average. I can get a lower average price for Bitcoin that I've purchased. And to me, this is a welcome relief. You know, the prices felt really high, really elevated, but I didn't stop stacking. And now this is really a welcome development. I don't think it lasts very long at this level. You know, even this morning when I know this will come out tomorrow, but, you know, we touched in the 80s and, you know, bounced very quickly up to 85. And I think, you know, these dips don't last forever. And if you've bought any time over the last few years, I think you know that the drawdowns are normal. They're healthy. It really rewards people who see Bitcoin for what it is, which is ultimately scarce. So I think there's no reason to be afraid. And this is really your opportunity.
I agree. I think the only time you should be afraid in Bitcoin is if the fundamentals of Bitcoin or the fundamentals of the macroeconomic picture change. And the reality is Bitcoin isn't going to change in that capacity, and nothing stops this train on the macro side. And so there is never really a time to fear. I would also say that if you want to be a part of the solution and not continue to be a part of the problem, you don't just have to opt into Bitcoin in some philosophical sense. You need to hold your own keys. You need to run a node, start solo mining, contribute some hash rate to the network. You need to be a part of the network. And it's easy to say, but if you're not doing that, you're not part of the resistance. You're not part of progressing us along on this journey to the bright orange future. So if you're sitting there taking on counterparty risk, you're using crappy hardware wallets, you're not running a node, like get off your ass and do something. That's kind of my call to action.
Yeah. And there's one more thing here. Like, I mean, guys, follow the money. Who's buying during these dips? Governments haven't stopped buying. El Salvador just purchased $100 million worth of Bitcoin during this dip. Governments are buying. Institutions are buying. All of these distractions are to separate those that have no clue from their Bitcoin. Why? Because these guys are late to the game. And so how are they going to, you know, improve their odds? Well, of course, they're in positions to create all sorts of, you know, events globally to trigger panic, because that's what the masses function on, fear, right? And the fear comes from a lack of understanding. Follow the money. The fundamentals, like Michael said, have not changed whatsoever. And so if you miss this opportunity, you know, you've been complaining that Bitcoin's too expensive. Well, you know, now you've got a crazy discount. But now the problem is you think it's going to fail. This is where you become your own worst enemy. So ignore the FUD. Focus on the facts. And everything will be just fine. It's a savings technology. Just have more today than you had last week or yesterday, and everything will be just fine.
Yeah. One more thing I would add. I tweeted this morning that I would have a lot more Bitcoin if in 2022, when I came into the space, if I had already achieved that level of conviction that I have today, when it dipped to $15,000, right? But I wasn't there. So I was just kind of casually DCA, and I hadn't like moved my portfolio into Bitcoin. So if you're in that spot now in 2025 where you see this dip and you're like, oh, you know, I'm kind of in, I've read a book or two, like do the work now, do your research, read the books, listen, like go on overdrive right now. So that way you're not regretting when Bitcoin's at $500,000 equivalent purchasing power, you're not saying, oh man, I could have had 3 Bitcoin and I have, you know, 0.1 instead because I was just putting $10 a week in. I know you need to do the work to get to that point of conviction, but put that effort in now is my encouragement to everyone.
Absolutely, man. And if you want to simplify it even worse, even more, what are you selling into? You're selling into the very thing that you know with 100% certainty is going to zero. Like, how insane is that logic? But yet that's the first thing people do because, of course, you know, you've been living this life since the day you were born. So instinctively, you default to the worst possible decision. The fiat system is dead. It's dying. It's collapsing in slow motion in real time. We are seeing it. It's crystal clear. It couldn't be more clear than it is, you know, in the last few years here. But yet the same mistakes keep repeating themselves over and over. Hopefully at some point, like for God's sake, I hope, you know, more people understand this and stop becoming, you know, their own worst enemy and victims of this nonsense.
Yes, I think that's incredibly well said. Alrighty, guys, this was a quote tweet from our very own here, Bird Flip. So Bitcoin's hash price has fallen to its lowest level ever recorded since Luxor began tracking the metric in December 2016. And Greer, you said solo miners were about to hit some blocks. Amen to that. Greer, why don't you tell people, explain what your logic on this?
Yeah, I think that the mining industry is having a hard time with a lower price, you know, especially in the U.S. where a large portion of the mining occurs. And so I think the cost for them to mine a Bitcoin, I saw something like 112,000. And with the price today, it just isn't economically viable to continue mining. So they unplug their machines and they wait. But that's great for people like me who are running 3 solo miners at home. You know, I'm probably not going to hit a block, let's be honest, but my chances increase considerably when they do. So it's not like I'm going to stop watching. But I think if you're mining at home, it's not just a great way to learn about Bitcoin, but you can build your own block templates using Datum and Ocean. I mean, there's so much that comes with it, but you can be part of decentralizing the network. So no matter where you live, you should be getting a home miner. You know, we have a great relationship with Power Mining. You can get something with a decent amount of hash, you know, anywhere from 5 to 10 terahashes per second is what you want to look at, and then get into it. And, you know, it'll become an obsession. That's kind of my warning. But the odds are in our favor. So to me, anything that decentralizes Bitcoin makes it more secure. I'm not a fan of the institutional miners. You know, they hit every other block. And so this is a chance for the little guys to win. Don't you want to be part of an underdog story? I know I do. So I'll be checking every day to see if I've been successful. And if I do hit a block, probably won't be telling anyone.
A node and a miner in every home. That's our dream here at the Bitcoin Way. Tony.
Yeah, man, everybody should be giving themselves, you know, a gift of solo mining, you know, this holiday season, and gift someone else the gift of self-sovereignty, you know, like bust somebody else's ear about the importance of protecting their finances and preparing for the, you know, a very clear future that we're headed towards. Solo mining is a lot of fun. It's a great educational tool as well. And like Greer said, it's extremely addictive. You'll start with one, and then by the time you blink, you have 7. So you never know. The odds of hitting, you know, a lottery ticket between now and Christmas have gone significantly higher. And I, for one, am very excited for all of those that have their units running at home. Best of luck, guys. It's going to be great.
All righty. Up next, we have talk of the Strategic Reserve and a no capital gains tax on Bitcoin. There's a big, big caveat here. So let's watch this video real quick.
Bitcoin Reserve. Congressman Davidson joins me now. Congressman, a series of questions here. Number one, what is a Bitcoin Reserve? What does it do, and how do you build it?
Well, first of all, the president created a strategic reserve of Bitcoin in part because the United States government didn't have like a single custodian. You had every agency in the government that might have had an asset, seized an asset or anything else, any kind of digital asset, they didn't have custody of it. So they were losing track of the private keys. So essentially when you lose your keys, you lose, it's like losing a pile of cash.
Yeah.
So they created an organized way and put it under Treasury to say, hey, we're going to have a single custodian for all of the Bitcoin, kind of like Fort Knox for crypto. Right. And then they said, well, not all crypto is created equally. Bitcoin, we want to hold on to. It's an appreciating asset over a long period of time. Some of these other things, we should just sell them off and buy more Bitcoin. But they wanted to do it in a deficit neutral way. And I think a lot of people have been like, well, how else do you put money in there? And so we're introducing legislation that not only codifies that executive order, so there's a common sense way to have custody for the Bitcoin and other digital assets, but you can contribute. So when you pay your taxes, you can pay your taxes in Bitcoin. So Bitcoin is currency in that sense, and there's no capital gains.
All righty. So what he's talking about is obviously the Strategic Reserve Bill. We've been hearing about that for forever. All they've done now up to now is confiscate Bitcoin from, you know, people. And that's the way that I think the Strategic Reserve seems to be built. But the big caveat, of course, is that there will be no capital gains taxes if you pay your taxes in Bitcoin. If you want to spend your Bitcoin, there's still a capital gains tax. So clown world, I keep saying that I think it's peaked. It has not peaked. We are back at it. Tony,
man, they really think they really think the American people are that dumb. I mean, who in their right mind, first of all, would pay taxes in Bitcoin? And the fact that they're alleviating a capital gain tax just if you pay your taxes, man, this whole thing is a farce. Like, nobody should be paying 2 seconds attention to it. You know, we're discussing it now because it's so ridiculous that, you know, it merits, you know, somebody to cast a spotlight on how stupid it sounds. But again, you know, clown world, expect anything and everything.
Yeah. Greer.
Yeah, hard pass for me. I mean, I like to pay my taxes in shitcoins, which is the US dollar. So I think that's what I'm going to do. You know, I think he's really excited to run out here and find another way for the US to accumulate Bitcoin. Kudos to him. You know, he's helping build a U.S. strategic reserve. But, you know, this ain't for me. I think if you wanted to be optimistic or, you know, put a smiley face on it, it makes Bitcoin more accepted at the federal level. Maybe that's a good thing. But I absolutely would not dox my cold card address by sending some sats over to pay my tax liability. So, hard pass for me. But, you know, we'll see what happens.
Maybe that's the real play here, is they want to know who has Bitcoin and they'll see which idiots are willing to send it to the government. I just, for me, I could not, if there is one institution in the entire world that I do not want to have Bitcoin, it's the U.S. government. Like, there's no institution I am less likely to send Bitcoin to than the United States government. So I think people need to quit getting excited about this. I agree with you, Greer. If you want to put a little happy face on this kind of news, it brings some attention to it in the mainstream, but that doesn't mean you have to follow the instructions that they've provided. Be part of the resistance, as we were saying. All righty. We've got PubKey. DC is on the map now. So this is crazy. I saw a picture of this and I thought it was fake initially of Scott Bessent at the launch, I guess. And seems he was there because I saw it in several places. I think it's great that we've got these, you know, Bitcoin focused and Bitcoin oriented businesses popping up and you know, drawing attention to them. Any signal here, Scott Bessent showing up to this?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's great for PubKey. I mean, they're good Bitcoin dudes, you know, and they famously had the Bitcoin Lightning transaction from Trump a couple years back. But I think that, you know, this is get ready for the Bitcoin president. You know, that's what the U.S. is going to have in the future. And I think PubKey being part of the culture, both in New York and D.C., helps with that cause. You know, I think the big wigs stopping by to kind of rub elbows with the plebs, you know, it's cool. I criticize so many things. It's good to be able to see a win on the Bitcoin side. I want this to be a win. And I think that it is. And I think as Bitcoin enters into politics in the political realm, we're going to see very powerful Bitcoiners shift their weight and change the conversation. And I don't think it'll be long until we have a Bitcoin president. You know, if you are a Bitcoiner and you're a single issue voter, this is a huge potential voting block. And, you know, while a lot of times we say your vote doesn't matter, I think I would adjust that to say if we had a Bitcoin president, I think things in the U.S. would get a lot better very quickly.
Yeah, I agree with you. And not to be the pessimist, the thing I get excited about when I see this is just that another Bitcoin business has opened up shop, you know, and there's another place you can go spend your Bitcoin, and they continue to build the circular economy, normalize this as a way of life for people. So to me, that's the signal. If you get excited about Scott Bessent being there, great. To me, that's noise amongst the more important message here that PubKey, I think, delivers. Tony.
Yeah, absolutely. Nothing more to echo here other than the fact that Bitcoin is going mainstream. You know, it continues to grow. And now we've got the mixing of the suits with the cool kids on the block. And, you know, I guess that's a good thing to see.
Yeah, we'll take it. All righty, guys, last up. So this is, I think, a really important thing for people to see, like to peek behind the curtain on what goes on in crypto land. Because we've seen the pump of Zcash, but we had, what was Caspa, like, was another one. They were talking about like replacing Bitcoin, and Zcash is the new, privacy coin or whatever. So Mark Moss tweeted this, and it was a message from, I don't know what this is. He said, I manage KOL operations at Amplifive. And he was talking about Zcash being like Bitcoin with a privacy superpower. And then he wants a collaboration with Mark. And so Mark said, wonder why Zcash is showing up everywhere all of a sudden. And it's because this is what happens behind the scenes. On the they have, you know, VC money, the early investors into Zcash, the creators got a, you know, major payoff in the early days, and they've got money to go now pay influencers to shill their shitcoin. So don't be duped by these things, Tony. Why don't
of
you give
course,
some-
man. This is how most people get wrecked. Anything that's VC funded like this is, you know, the number one a red flag that you should stay away from. Again, it comes down to simplicity. Bitcoin in self-custody. That's it. Bitcoin is the money. Anything else is complete rubbish and counterparty risk that you should avoid with 100%.
Yes. And Greer, you have anything you'd add to that?
This thing had a pre-mine. You know, they call it a founder's reward, but a portion of the coins, I think it was like 10%, 2.1 million coins went to the founders. That's the antithesis of Bitcoin. Bitcoin's open source. Satoshi never kept any, never pre-mined any coins, and the coins he did mine are locked away and haven't moved in the entire history of Bitcoin. So I, you know, for me, you know, I can smell this one like dog shit on a shoe. Like, sorry, I'm not going to say yes to this. I do see people talking about it endlessly. I agree with you. It's probably a lot of paid shills. But I think what's cool in Bitcoin is that when we talk about Bitcoin, you know, generally speaking, we're not getting paid for it. You know, Bitcoin has no marketing department. It is just the plebs, the everyday regular holders who understand what it is, who have put their, you know, all of their money and their value behind it. They've traded their dollars for Bitcoin, and they want to see it succeed. So to me, going with something that's open source, that doesn't have a board, doesn't have a marketing team, doesn't have a founder that's active, you know, those are the things that make Bitcoin distinct. So I don't think anybody who listens to us would mess with Zcash, but there are plenty of examples of coins like this that look great for about 5 minutes, only to get dumped on, you know. So I would say stay away. If you see people talking about the gains, that's a few select people. This is not, you know, like Bitcoin, where anyone can join at any time and still benefit from it. To me, it's just shitcoin all the way down.
Yeah. I think one thing I would highlight as well is, even within Bitcoin, you have to recognize that this happens for the treasury codes, for Bitcoin products. And one of the reasons we don't have a sponsor on the Bitcoin Way podcast here is because we don't want to be beholden to someone else who tells us what to think or asks us to, you know, shill something that we don't agree with because they're paying us. And you need to be very mindful of that. Like when we recommend products, it's not because of a kickback. It's because we have criteria that we say you need to buy open source, air gapped only, Bitcoin only hardware wallets. And there are a handful that are great. And you get to pick which one you want to go with. So be mindful of that even outside of the shitcoin land, because it does happen within Bitcoin as well. It's not to call anyone in particular out. I think there are people operating in very good faith. And there are some people who are being paid to shill different products. So be aware. Guys, anything else, or we good with all of this?
I think we're good for today. Enough data to absorb.
Yeah. Well, everyone who joined, thank you so much for being here. Really appreciate it. Stick around for another minute and learn about the Bitcoin way, how we can help you take proper self-custody, run a node, do all of the things that we were talking about early on in this episode. And look forward to having you back next time. Gents, good chatting. You guys take care. We'll talk soon.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Hey there, thank you for tuning into Bitcoin Banter. Wanted to take a quick minute to remind you to head on over to thebitcoinway.com/podcast to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with a member of our team. It is critical that you take full control of your wealth, and we can equip you with the skills needed to take 100% self-custody of your Bitcoin. For our existing clients, we also offer our Bitcoin Bootcamp, where we will conduct quarterly calls with you to reinforce the training we've provided and fill any gaps in your knowledge. While you're at it, ask about our solo mining service, something we think everybody should be doing. We also help with addressing your personal and online cybersecurity, and we can even help you set up a privacy phone free of big tech and Big Brother surveillance. Don't underestimate the amount of tracking taking place in your browser and in the apps you use every day. And finally, whether you're ready to make a move to a freedom-loving paradise or want to back up in the event of a worst-case scenario, be sure to ask about our Plan B residency program. Being untethered from a single location is one of the best ways to ensure your self-sovereignty into the future. Again, you can schedule a free consultation at thebitcoinway.com/podcast. If you are enjoying the show, please do me a favor, subscribe to our channel wherever you listen, give us a 5-star review, and drop us a comment. We would really appreciate it, and it makes it easier for others to begin finding us as we preach the gospel of financial self-sovereignty and beyond. Thank you again for listening. Until next time, stay safe, stay sovereign, and remember, the yield on Bitcoin is freedom.